All right, I want to say welcome to those that possibly be listening to this podcast. We're in the book of Daniel. We have gone through four chapters, and what a joy it is. Just a short recap. Daniel was captured, and upon his being captured, it was noticed that he had a special anointing upon him. He had three followers there with him, and they also had been following along. And they made a stand day one that they were not going to eat the king's meat. And because they didn't eat the king's meat, it was shown that they made the right decision and the right choice for when the comparison was made between them and the regular other ones. They were 10 times better. And so we have come to ourselves as Christians to enjoy that Daniel fast from time to time, or we just eat vegetables and things for a few days and stay away from the meat, and still today is bringing benefits. So then we move on, and of course Nebuchadnezzar, which was the man of the hour that God had chose to capture his wayward people, decided that he needed somebody to interpret a dream, and of course that was Daniel to interpret the dream. After that, the king had stated that everybody should worship Daniel's God, and so we are thinking that Nebuchadnezzar had finally started to see the light, and what we find out is that Nebuchadnezzar had some bad influences going on. He had some people in his court that said, "Nah, we can't. You know, you the only king now. We all this God worshiping now." So they got him to thinking, and so he put together an idol god and wanted everybody to worship the idol god. And so the decision was made that there would be no worshiping idol gods. So he said, "You either gonna bow or burn." They said, "We not gonna do it." So they said, "Burn we must, but we don't even care. We're not going for it." So they were delivered. The dream was interpreted. And then we had another dream come up. And of course he called his favorite man again and said, "Something's going on here with these dreams." But as we have studied before, that God in those times used dreams and visions to make known what he wanted to with the people. If he didn't make it known to the king, he made it known to his prophets. So there was a lot of dreaming and visioning going on, and there was always an interpretation. Not always good, but God has always worked it out. So are there any questions about 1 through 4? Because we're going to move right on into 5. We're on Daniel chapter 5. All right. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princesses and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Does that sound like a problem getting ready to happen?
Sound like it's bad.
Yeah, we getting ready to have a problem here. All right.
One of the things that we may bring out at this juncture, Nebuchadnezzar, he's gone to the happy hunting land. He's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. He's up there in the mountain, the happy hunting land somewhere.
All right. So we're dealing with his son, who's now decided that he's gonna use some of the things that were taken out of the temple. He doesn't have any respect at all, does he? Uh-huh. All right, verse 3. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princesses and wives and concubines, they drank in them. They drank wine. and praise the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. They just having a good time. Mm-hmm. All right.
They thought.
Uh-huh. Five. In the same hour came four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Ooh. Now, I would imagine he started to look at the wine and try to figure out, is that the wine or what's going on here? Somebody trying to do something. Because, you know, you're going to see a hand appear and start writing on the wall. I think I might have been shaking. Then the king's countenance was changed, I imagine so, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Now, we know what's happening, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. His knees knocking. He's scared. A hand writing on the wall. The king cried aloud to bring in, are these that same group from before? The astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and he left out the counselors, because before they even had another group, they had a bunch of counselors running around with them too. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Is that familiar?
Yep.
It's a repeat.
Here we come. His daddy didn't get it, and looking like he not getting it either. Right?
Right.
All right. Well, before I move on, let me just back up a little bit. I want us to get all of this, cause what do y'all see out of the first nine verses? There's a couple of points I want us to make sure we get out.
One thing that sticks out, say like in verse number two and number three, he was there partying, drinking wine, as we pointed out. Having a good time, he had the wives, and in that culture, that was a no-no. They had the wives and the concubines. And if you go back and look at, just give you a flashback on the book of Esther, mm-hmm. and the Queen Vashti, you know, they were segregated out, you know, from the men. They wasn't there, so that was a no-no in and of itself. So something happened there. This guy, Xerxes wanted to show off Esther, you know, and all that kind of stuff as well, but to have women in the party with the men in that culture at the time, that was a complete no-no. You don't do that.
That's one.
I think verses 1 through 9 at the banquet, the whole gist of the whole thing to me was that the king decided to dishonor God, dishonor, you know, God through bringing in, going in those vessels, because those sacred vessels was saved that came from the temple
right.
in Jerusalem. And I think that was the...
And that was the most important one that I remember.
That's exactly right. So we got a major disrespect of God. And too, his father had already witnessed God moving in a special way already. And so here we have, you move up one step and you backslide five. Mm-hmm. So every time God shows up and makes himself known to them, they revert right back to the same disrespect that they were going on before.
So they don't learn from their first mistakes.
But a test not passed will be repeated. So here right. the daddy didn't get it right, and here we got the son not getting it right. Sir.
There's a philosophy or theory that transference of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it with Abraham and Isaac, when they got in trouble, they lied about who the wives were. Well, his Belshazzar, he did not, probably did not really appreciate what his dad, when his dad repented.
Right.
So that same spirit that was in his father before he repented came to the son. So he's doing the exact same thing, acting with pride, acting with arrogance, and like our friend Bishop Whitaker says, he thinks he's all that and a bag of chips.
Right. Now for us, for us, let us look at it like this. When we have children, we have a responsibility to teach them
sure.
the right way. Mm-hmm. And after Nebuchadnezzar had for how many years been eating grass?
Seven
years of eating grass and hair growing and fingernails getting out long and getting delivered from that. You would think that he would have took his son aside and said, hey, you know, you need to worship the one and true God. But we don't see that evidence of that because look at what he's doing. Not only is he got the wives and the concubines and everybody partying, they had vessels,
but
he took it a step further. And not only did he take it a step further, he went and used those chalices and everything to get drunk and worship false gods at with everything. So we got something bad going on here, but God's getting ready to work it out. All right. Then King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astounded. 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the great spirit of who?
Holy God.
Holy God. Look, there's a big difference. Not just what you worshiping. Holy God. Right?
But in my Bible, the gods have a little G.
Mm-hmm.
And an S. So she's talking about many gods, but he's a holy one. This one.
Oh, this
the many gods.
This one.
This one. I know.
Yeah, his spirit.
His spirit, holy of the many gods.
Okay.
And another point, based on what Rose just said, the queen is actually based on my study, and it was Nebuchadnezzar's
wife.
Right. That was his wife, and because if you remember. All the ladies, all the wives are in the party, having a party. So here we see the queen came in. The queen, words of the hall and his lord, came to the banquet. So the other wife, the other queen was already there. Mm-hmm. So this is the Nebuchadnezzar's wife, as you just said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else? All right. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I said, thy father, make the master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an, what kind of spirit?
Excellent.
Everybody got the same term on that? Mm-hmm. All right. It's so much. King mind and knowledge, okay. Knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and a dissolving of doubts was found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Mm-hmm. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So here you got somebody that said, here we go again. Now I've seen this. These guys don't have it. They can't interpret it. So you need to go back and get the man who got the spirit that can do it. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around your neck, and she shall be the ruler, third ruler of the kingdom. It's getting better every time. Then Daniel answered and said unto the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Is that a lot of humility?
Yep.
He said, I don't do this for money. I don't do this for fame. I do this because I got a gift to do it. And who's going to get praised?
God.
All right. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would be slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would take down. So they came in there making an understanding that this guy had all power, right? He set them up, take them down, promote, kill them, whatever. He had some power. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew from heaven, till he knew that the Most High ruled the kingdom of men, that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not what? Humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all of this. So he was told.
Yeah.
He was told.
Yeah, he was.
And Daniel was telling him that to let him know, this is what happened to your dad. But he humbled himself after God took him through the ring. Let's say the ring. But you are not humbling yourself. And this is the same thing that's going to happen to you if you don't humble yourself.
Now, that verse 14 speaks just what you just said. I have heard of you. He knew this. He knew about Daniel. He knew that Daniel can do these things. So this was nothing new nor Greek to him. He was well aware of what had transpired in previous under previous king. He knew this.
Because what you're saying is Daniel had some history.
Well, at this time, Belshazzar, he is like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's about the fourth or fifth in that lineage after Nebuchadnezzar, I think. That's what I want to say.
I think it was fourth. Now, let me throw something else out. Do you think that when Daniel is talking, he's just talking to the king? You think anybody else is hearing this?
Everybody glad to hear the interpretation.
Saw that coming in.
So I want us to always think about this. Whenever a man of God is standing forth, there's a lot of other people that have audience. And that takes away a lot of their excuses as well for not understanding what truth is. When the light comes, it a lot of times not just come to one, but it come to everybody in the area. So a lot of other people are brought under condemnation. Not only that, if anybody had not heard the story, then Daniel just give them the story.
Yep.
Huh? He said, now Nebuchadnezzar had a round with God and it didn't work out too well for him. He repented. And if you don't repent, you're going to have a round with him too. Right?
But just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, I was in Home Depot last week getting a hot water heater. And after we made transact business and took care of everything, I began to witness to the guy. And when I witnessed to him, there was another guy came up and he heard everything. But I could tell he was under conviction.
The one that was listening?
The one that was listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He came under conviction because I could feel it. And then he left.
But he got the word.
He got the word.
He got the word.
Yeah.
Some planting, some water.
What did you know that he was under conviction?
Just by him moving around and how he left, I got the impression that he had got convicted. See, when you speak the word of God, somebody gonna get convicted. It may not be the one you're talking to all the time, but it could, like you said, it could be somebody else that on the peripheral. I felt it in my spirit. He didn't have to tell me.
Right.
You see.
All right. 23. But has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of this house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drank wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. So you're looking for love in all the wrong places, son. Because that you're working with, there ain't no life in it. Ain't no life in all of that. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and the right, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Y'all can read that, right? I know y'all. Go ahead.
Mene, Mene, Tekel, Pharosin.
I got U-P-H-A-R-E-N.
U-Harson?
U-Farson.
I have P-A-R-S-I-N.
Me too.
I got a U in front of mine.
Sometimes you don't pronounce the U. The U is silent.
Oh, okay. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Ooh. Tico, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Boy, I've heard that in a plenty of times. Found wanting. Perish, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with the scarlet and still put the chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Gone.
So who killed him?
I think
the
Persians.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They built a trench. His castle was on the Euphrates River, and they built a ditch.
Huh? Over it.
Yeah, it was over. Yeah, it was over it, and they built a trench. And the trench, the water went in another area, so the water level could go down. And that's how they came in and
got him.
Gerald, give her an A.
I know y'all expect for me to come and spoon feed y'all, but that's not gonna happen. I gotta see who's doing some work around here. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
So he was 62.
Mm-hmm.
Darius.
Yeah.
But Daniel had just told him in 20. That this was going to happen, but I guess he didn't figure it was going to happen this fast.
That's right.
That's the thing about God's mercy. You never know when the end of it is going to take place. Mm-hmm. He's merciful, but if he thinks that you're going to just abuse it, mm-hmm. he could. Now, I can't say he will. He could cut your mercy short. Because right. You know better. See, he knew better than Daniel and Chloe.
Well, his dad had 7 years. But he didn't have seven.
He didn't have seven. Mm-hmm.
But do y'all see the summer of thing what happened in the world these days and time is going on like similar to what went on then?
Yeah. that right now there's a total disrespect for God's authority in this country.
That's right.
Now this country is one nation under God, but the one that's in charge has no respect or regard for authority.
Right.
All of the things that's been set up, he's trying to tear it down. Everything that's right, he's flipping it all around. And there may be some writing on the wall, too.
Well, his son says he only see green.
And that's true.
His son says he
only sees green.
45 son.
Okay. Yeah. 45 son.
I mean, not the baby doll, baby guy.
Only see green.
Green.
Money.
Oh, you're talking about Trump.
45.
You're saying he got more than one son.
Eric
said Trump. I didn't acknowledge his position. Yeah. Not Junior. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eric.
Okay. Y'all almost got it all out of five. Anybody else?
But he evidently believed Daniel. Soon as he said it up here, he put all the chains and stuff on him, so he believed him.
He understood the interpretation, and nobody else was even able to give him that. And he had to put his word out there. His word was out there that if you interpret the dream, that's what you're going to get. Even though Daniel told him he didn't want it. Daniel said, you can hold all that, really. Because my job is to deliver this message to you. I'm going to give you the interpretation, but I'm not doing it for a reward.
Right. And all this happened in one day. Mm-hmm. Everything happened one day. Destruction, the party, all of it happened one day.
But can we see the fulfilled? I'm sorry. I can see his finger.
Was the son a little boy or something when all the things that happened to his father transpired that he didn't realize?
It doesn't. Listen,
he was 14. I did the research. It said he was 14 when all this happened, and, you know, when the first dream came about. I don't know if this interpretation is true, but it said that he was 14 and he knew of everything that he had gone through. Mm-hmm. Even when he got older, he already knew about the first dream and all that.
So he chose to continue to worship brass and stone and
wood and
silver. And even though he knew what his father had gone through, that was his choice to continue to follow in his father's footsteps and worship all those things.
Mm-hmm. And why was that? I want y'all to... What'd you say it was?
I said pride and arrogance.
Okay, he said pride and arrogance. What else?
Greed.
What else?
Fame.
Yeah. Power. You don't know who you are until you get a whole lot of power and people start to giving you worship and giving you praise.
Yeah.
Daniel always had humility. And he even though he was one of the prophets that did not suffer really like all of the rest of the ones did. He had a position in the kingdom, and you know, God blessed him, made him an example. Really, you pray three times a day, God will make you a leader too. I'm just saying there's some stuff in there. The way that he fasted, there's a lot of stuff in Daniel I want you to consider. But what we're talking about right now is having power and getting lifted up in pride and arrogance and thinking it's all about you instead of it's all about God's, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all them and they that dwell within it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make a statue.
but also...
No, but wait now. You said he didn't make one?
Who didn't make one?
Bill Dyer.
How you know he didn't make one?
Where they come from?
His dad, after that second thing, he was out of the situation. Mm-hmm. He's done. The only one Nebuchadnezzar built was one of gold. Because after he had got the interpretation, he said, no, I'm going to build one better than what you saw in the dream. Mm-hmm. That you interpreted the dream, because the dream had feet that was made out of clay and all that. He said, no, this one I'm going to build is going to be straight gold.
Yeah, he had
them.
Yep. I think we associate today power... money.
Mm-hmm.
It is. People who have money have power. They may not be kings and queens over nations, but the millionaires and billionaires, that's how I interpret it as today.
Yeah.
People in power having money, and people gravitate to those people that have the power and the money.
Yeah.
And so those people would do anything for those people that are in power and have the money, and it's as if they worship those people.
They call them fans.
Yeah, fans. They could be fans or groupies. Or whatever it is.
Right.
They that's their God.
Little
small G.
Right.
And so today I see that as a powerful person is being a person with a lot of money and being able to control others to do whatever it is that they want them to do. I'll take care of you as long as you do this, that, and the other.
Yeah. Or, y'all watch what I wear. Everybody wear what I wear.
Yeah.
Everybody drive what I.
Yeah.
They set a standard.
Set a standard.
And so everybody follow it.
If you...
Go ahead.
If you don't do what they say do, they bring you down.
You fall from grace in their eyes.
Yeah, okay.
But it was.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing. That's the same thing.
What he was saying, though, when you are not godly, you don't realize your authority is delegated.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like King Nebuchadnezzar had to confess, the Most High God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He has all the power.
Right. Yeah.
You only have delegated authority. So that's why you have to be humble.
Got to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to realize that.
Question?
Listening to what Claudette said, have people made a god out of Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, no, not a god.
I don't know about it.
Because people do whatever she says.
Beyonce said. And all them other ones.
The books that she reads.
They worship.
She puts out what she likes.
Yeah.
And everybody goes and buys it.
Well,
Oprah got to do is recommend it. Be one of her favorite things.
Well, I want us to keep it. not exactly a worship, but to know that everybody is an individual and they are not great on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is great.
I was listening to go ahead.
Oh, let you two elders battle it out.
Once again, the ungodly, because they don't acknowledge the Most High God. They want to worship something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like I think it was you, Claudette, talking about power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they see this person with this type of power.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to see a God, the world does,
mm-hmm.
with their natural eyes. They can't see because they don't have insight. They can't see the true God because they're not godly and they don't acknowledge the true God. So that's why they worship what they worship. They
mm-hmm.
worship power, they worship
yeah.
things made.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back over to Romans 1 where they worship the creation.
More than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
I was child surfing before I came here and I the real, I don't know whether y'all ever watched that? Mm-hmm. And this, they was talking about this white lady said that Tupac Shakur had came into her body and took over her body. So,
what?
Yeah. And then they went around and asked some of the people who would they like to possess their body. Mm. And one lady said, I want Beyonce to possess my body, to come inside my body. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Human beings, they want to come back inside their body.
Yeah, you know? They want to be like those people.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing but the devil.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well,
I think we'll work that out pretty good.
I think we'll work that out pretty good.
I hear what you guys saying about people worshiping or being influenced by people with money and power and what have you, but we, as Christians, as pastors been preaching, we have influence. And our job is whether we're influencing godly and what we profess to be and not showing one side when we're in one location and showing another side when we're in another location, depending on who we're surrounded by as to how we act. But we have influence too, as Christians.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
But what, Sister Ann, we'll piggyback on what you just said. What kills our influence is what you were referring to. You didn't use this word, but our hypocritical, our hypocrisy.
Yes.
Like you say, one day, one way, one place you this way, another place you this way.
Mm-hmm.
So the influence is gold, it leaves. And a lot of times when we are speaking to people who know us, the influence is not there because they know we ain't living that life.
Right.
We're not living that life.
Right.
We were called to be ambassadors.
Right.
And that means we are representatives of the Most High God. And like the UN ambassador, they do what the nation who sent them to do. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
What the one who sent us, what does he want us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Represent him properly.
All right, I'm going to let the Elder Bailey go on in the six, and when you get, you'll get done.
Can I piggyback on that, what you said, Elder?
Sure.
You met the guy Saturday?
Yeah, the guy that said he wanted to come to church.
He didn't want to, because his father His father had been a minister, and so he saw a lot of hypocrisy, and so, like Pastor said, we were scatterers of Christianity anymore, and so, like Pastor said, we were scatterers of Christianity. Yeah, well, now he's into, he's worshiped the sun, the Afrocentric stuff.
The father is
No, he is. He was.
Oh, the guy was.
The guy was. Because
I told him God still loved him.
Yeah.
I said, God still loves you. But I said, one day.
And he will. I believe he will.
I told him, I said, one day. You may not believe today, but one day you will.
He's interested. You know what? He would not let my hand go.
He would not let my hand go.
He's tired of hypocrisy. He didn't want to hear it.
He held my hand the whole time I was talking to him, and I looked him straight in the eye. I said, God still loves you. But then one day, you're going to believe and you're going to come back.
He's looking for truth.
He is. He really was. A young guy.
That's good. How you want to say something?
One of the things that I found to be very, very important, you know, you mentioned the vessels earlier, and I thought that was the most important point that was made here. But look at the fact that the prophecy that Daniel made came to pass.
Yes.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
The prophecy that was given to Daniel by God came to pass.
So it'll come to pass again
with the Medes and the Persians. Now, overall, when you look at the book of, when I look at the book of Daniel, you would look at it as Daniel as being the subject matter. This book is all about God.
Yeah.
The whole book. You can see God
book.
All through that book.
Yes.
But Daniel is the subject matter almost in its entirety in the book. But you can see the hand of God all over it.
Oh, yeah.
And like what you're saying, that was the end of
the Babylonians.
Right.
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. I'm saying
yes.
Umpire.
Yes.
Umpire.
Yes.
Empire.
Yes.
Empire.
Yes.
Because that was a part of the prophecy that Daniel gave when they had the men, you know, with the gold head and then the different breastplate and all the legs and all that.
Yeah,
so that empire ended as Daniel had prophesied.
Mm-hmm. It's gone. It's over yonder.
I know this is a rabbit trail, but I want to read this because it tells us how we can know when a prophet has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. Okay, and it says, "And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks," in other words, if you don't hear the words which the prophet speaks, and in this particular scripture, is actually talking about Jesus, but it's also talking about a prophet, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? Here it is, what Sister Ann, thank Sister Ann, you didn't really say it, but this is what it is. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. In other words, because we got a lot of people that prophesy.
Yeah, in the name of the Lord.
Right. It doesn't mean it has to happen immediately, but it does have to come to pass.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And you know, that's really serious.
Very serious.
Because this says they'll die. You know, you walk around giving prophecies from God and you're not really giving prophecies from God?
It's serious.
That's the Old Testament though, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, but it's still serious.
You think that it would not apply today?
Brenda.
She said, but that's the Old Testament.
Mercy and God's mercy and grace. Old Testament, then God's mercy and grace. And people just say, you end it with just God's mercy and grace. And sometimes people are just out of ignorance, maybe. But I'm sorry.
But don't say you no prophet then.
Okay.
And you don't.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yes, it is in the Old Testament, but it is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. We want to say, well, that was in the Old Testament,
right.
But God still said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And like I was telling Brother, I was referring to Bobby when I was saying, it does not mean that the prophecy has to occur immediately. But if it is what God has said,
it will come to pass.
Well, we see two examples. It took Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years?
Yeah.
Whereas it took his son the same night.
Mm. Yeah.
So what you just said, Rose, was God's mercy on Nebuchadnezzar.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And not on the son.
And not on the son. Mm-hmm. Because
he knew, he saw what happened to his dad. So
I know this is not part of the lesson, but it's scripture applies. But it says, he who knows much is much required.
Yeah.
Once you know the truth,
right,
you are required to obey the truth.
Wow.
Now, if you don't know, then
that's
between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
But when you know the truth, I believe the judgment could be quicker because you know the truth, and you just willfully disobeyed it. That's not in the Bible, but that's my opinion.
No,
makes sense to me.
Is it James 4:17, to him who knows the right thing to do or doesn't do it, to him that is sin?
Right.
And another one said, he shall be beat with many stripes, him who knows what to do.
So even though I was not quoting a particular scripture, Sister Ann is helping me out.
That does fit in with this lesson, too.
It does.
Yeah, it fits,
yes.
It fits in.
Yes.
Yeah, it fits in.
And that's why, since we're just about out of time, because Minister Alfred wanted me to start on 6, but I'm not going to start on 6. We're going to just dialogue.
Okay.
That's why it's important when we are sitting in church and the word of God is coming forth, and I'm sure you've heard it, we are accountable for the word that comes forth. But the other thing is, you can't escape accountability by saying, well, I didn't hear it because I wasn't there. But you had the access to be there. So the word still holds you accountable. You're accountable for what God is saying. See, I don't think a lot of times we truly believe when the minister is ministering that he's God's mouthpiece at that particular time. So what he's saying, Sister Dorothy, what he's saying is what God expects us to be obedient to. So a lot of times we disregard that. We don't think that was God. You know, we think that was just a man speaking. But God is speaking through his vessels. He speaks. He was speaking through Daniel. That's the same thing, right?
Right.
So the point is, when you're in church, before you speak against the man of God, make sure you know what you're doing.
No, you shouldn't speak against the man of God, period.
Because he said, touch not my anointing.
Say that twice.
Do my prophets no harm.
Twice in Samuel and Psalms.
Well.
Right.
I believe since we're under grace, and if God, if the man of God is speaking a word and you wasn't there and you didn't get it, and then you make that same mistake that you were warned about, God will correct you. And when he corrects you, you have to humble yourself and repent. That's how I believe God deal with us as believers.
And I don't think you're getting an argument or debate on that statement.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Say that again.
I said, I do not think he'll get an argument or a debate on the statement he made.
Oh, no, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
See, our problem is when we get into pride and we can't be corrected. That's our problem, you know. I think, we have been talking about pride earlier.
Yeah. The pride is a significant point in that chapter.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's a significant point with Nebuchadnezzar and his son. Pride and arrogance.
God won't cast us aside. He loves us.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Anyone else want to make a comment?
I do.
Make a comment.
I want to see if anybody wants to make a comment about the fact that last week, this time, we had not lost this servant, Billy Graham. I believe he died on that Wednesday, because it was one Wednesday after the Wednesday of what happened in Florida with the mass shooting. And as Daniel was considered to be sort of a prophetic person, but he didn't preach like the other prophets as mentioned in the Old Testament, like Jeremiah and Isaiah, etc. But he was still prophetic, and he was spoken, but he was sort of like a statesman. We are allowing Billy Graham, you know, we are grateful that they are allowing him to lie in state at the nation's capital. And I'm just grateful there's not a lot of negativity comments going forth. At least I haven't heard any. Yeah. Not trying to hear negative about him. And I just wonder if anybody had anything to say about that, because, you know, about, even as it relates to me, it's a little bit.
I'll
it
say,
makes me think about.
I'll make a comment if it's okay with you.
I want people to, in the class to comment.
In the rotunda, yeah.
It's going to later, you know, he's in the,
And I've told several people this, and I won't say the only one, but he's one of the few national ministers that you never heard him being involved in any scandal. You never hear him involved in any scandal like money or women or none of that.
Never.
So he was a person of integrity, and he was used by God, because when he just ministered a simple word.
It was very simple.
And it was just as I am, oh Lord, I come. Yeah. And they came.
You ain't got to get deep, right?
Right. They came. Thousands would come.
It was very simple. If you believe, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it was a very simple message. And it was the same message every time he got up in that pulpit.
And so that was one of the reasons to the Sandra Sister Marva. And whoever else took the class that I was teaching on the Holy Spirit, that was one of the reasons I was using his book on the Holy Spirit.
Who, Billy Graham's book?
Yes. Because he was a man of integrity.
Yeah, he was.
And it was a lady in our interaction group who blessed me when she found out that he had passed. She was very, she didn't know that day I was on my way to study, but she said, I was filled with the Holy Spirit through reading that book, his book on the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And one thing I do think, Sandra, everybody had problems and nobody was perfect, but maybe by him being placed in that position, it might make people look at his history, because I didn't know that he was a friend of Martin Luther King, for one, and you know, he was an outspoken person.
He participated in the Civil Rights March.
Mm-hmm. And somebody refuted that. Junior, my brother, was telling me that he never used to march. But I don't know. But it was an article that said he did. He did. But, you know, there's so much incorrect stuff out there. But
he was.
It may make people think, maybe. I know it makes him seem to be bigger, I guess. What are you thinking?
Well, he ministered to so many presidents.
Yes, that's
over
what it is.
A period of time.
That's probably why.
You know, and what I read was with Eisenhower, he was instrumental in getting Eisenhower to put "In God We Trust"
on the dollar bill
on money.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
He was one.
He started the prayer breakfast too.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
And so he was one, Sister Ann, like you were saying. He used his influence.
He used his influence.
Exactly.
Right.
He, back in, I saw this video just this morning, back in the 50s, where he was in an arena. I don't know where they were, but they had ropes, whites and colors.
Yeah.
And so the white people sat in front and the black people would be seated in the back. Mm-hmm. He went and told the usher to take the ropes down. Mm-hmm. The usher said, I can't do that. So he got up and took the ropes down himself and intermingled the black people with the white. And the usher, his usher, who was in his ministry, resigned and never came back.
Oh, wow.
That shows that usher, number one, was prejudiced. But he was a follower of Billy Graham, and still thinking that, you know, whites had precedent over black. Mm-hmm. He told Billy Graham, I can't take them ropes down. So Billy Graham went and took the ropes down himself. Mm-hmm. So, see, I didn't know, too, that he was a friend of Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and that he was against segregation. Mm-hmm. And that even made it more precedent for me, because his simple message was that, because of the love of God, all races are going to come together, mm-hmm. because of the love that man has in his heart, mm-hmm. that I can love my white brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. just like I love my black brothers and sisters, or whatever race you are. And that was very touching for me. I didn't realize that he had done that.
I heard that he refused to preach in some places where they wouldn't.
True.
He refused to preach in some place where they wouldn't allow blacks to come in.
And it's not going to be a white heaven and a black heaven, is it?
No.
I will say this right here, and then we're going to close. I would recommend, even though he's passed, I would recommend, if you want to get some knowledge on the Holy Spirit, that you would get that book.
What's the name of the book, Brother Bay?
The Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's the name of the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just like Brenda was saying, a friend of hers was filled from reading the book. You could get filled again.
Yeah.
Because it's really... When
he said he has the book.
He has the book.
Oh, wow.
You
went to one of his tent revivals?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the day, when you would come to Atlanta.
I think I was at the last tent revival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the man who used to sing Just As I Am, he's deceased now.
George Beverly Shea.
He's deceased. Yeah. Okay.
And he used to sing this song that my father was a Billy Graham fan. I know I'm talking now. But it was another song he used to say, How Great Thou Art.
Yeah.
And my father used to love that song. When he hear that song, he said, that's George Beverly Shea. But he was, I won't put the title of great on him. He was a man, no, Sister Sandra, only God is great. He was a man greatly used by God.
And I know he got many diamonds in his crown because of all the people that he
led to the Lord.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It
could have went up to millions. I don't know.
Million,
But he said all he wanted to hear when he was to heaven.
Well done.
Well done.
And I know God said that to him. As soon as his spirit left his body, he went before God and God said, well done.
Yeah,
now you can enter into your
rest.
Yes.
Bishop Bobby, final word.
Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this day, our Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for intervening in us, our Father, that we may receive your word, our Father. Now, as we leave here today, let us go forth and live the life that you have blessed us to live, our Father. Father God, we ask you to continue to bless our facilitator, our Father. Fill him afresh, our Father. Don't empty him, our Father. Just fill him afresh with a new word, our Father, until we come back again to meet on Thursday, our Father. Bless this church family, our pastor and his family, our Father. We lift them all up to you, our Father. We just bless your most holy and righteous name. And as we leave here today, going to our appointed destination, Father God, we ask you to bless us and be with us, and let's arrive safe on our destination. And everything that we do, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right.
Happy birthday! Yeah.